Today I have a real treat for you. My mother. My mommy. Yeah, she's my mommy. She's not really my mother, she's my mommy. You know what I mean? My mom and I have a very special relationship. In my older age, I'd argue we have a really special friendship. She's definitely one of the girls. Do with that what you will. She's one of the girls. And today we're just gonna hang out. It's a mother-daughter date. And you get to listen in on it. And we both love to overshare, so it's gonna be totally fun. So here is my mommy, Sophia Chamberlain, the one and the only. This episode is presented by Häagen-Dazs. It's love at first bite with the new Häagen-Dazs Dulce de Leche Bar, featuring rich caramel dulce de leche ice cream, swirled with thick, milky dulce de leche ribbons and dipped in milk chocolate. Indulgent? Yes. The perfect way to treat yourself? Absolutely. Find at retailers nationwide. That's Dawes. This episode is brought to you by Bumble. When you want someone compatible, start the search on Bumble. It has the features you need to find exactly what you're looking for, like a 6-foot Aquarius who likes rock climbing and also wants kids, or a runner with a penchant for poetry who loves dogs and wants a serious connection. We know you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Download Bumble today. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Imagine you find something that you love. Maybe you see your friend wearing a cool t-shirt and you're like, oh, I want that. And then they give you the website and you go onto it and it just doesn't feel quite right. That doesn't make you want to buy that t-shirt. A good website is crucial when it comes to selling your product or a brand. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. It's okay if you don't know the first thing about design. You can choose from professionally curated layouts with the Squarespace Blueprint. Squarespace even has AI that can help you kickstart or update your website copy. If you're selling products, Squarespace makes checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment methods. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial and save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain with the code EMMA. In what ways do you think I'm my mother's daughter?
Oh my gosh. Like, there's just a list that goes on. Like, you're a workaholic.
But I feel like I don't give off that vibe. I feel like I give off like slacker energy.
Oh God, I don't think so. Recently, you've been getting out more, which I think is great. But like before that, though, I mean, it was all about just like, oh, I have to do this. This is, you know,
You're
like,
definitely like that too,
yeah.
though.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, it's you wouldn't just like let loose and go have fun.
I was too scared, I think. I was like scared that I would like lose it if I was
Yeah.
like too much like that. When you were younger, did you do that too? Were you like a workaholic with school or with work? Or were you like, no, I'm gonna go out and be with cute boys?
I think any opportunity that I had, like if friends were going out, it was like, what do we, where are we going on Thursday night? Like we had the dance clubs to go to and, you know, we had our routine and stuff. So any chance I got, I would definitely go out. Whether it was a party or, you know, clubbing or whatever, but
That's interesting because you became a workaholic later in your life.
yes.
Now you are the mo like that is like you to a T.
I thrive on accomplishing stuff. Like, I thrive on getting shit done.
So it's not that it makes you like it's not that you love it, but rather that it feeds you.
It depends also what kind of work. For work, like, it's an integrity thing. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I have to accomplish a lot and get it off my plate and do it to perfection so that my integrity stays intact.
Well, I am your mother's daughter in this way. It's
Right?
but it's like so and not like toxic, but we're definitely both such perfectionists about, I mean, not I wouldn't say just our work life, but I think it's very, very apparent and present there. But just in general, I feel like we're both so things have to be done right.
Right.
Like things have to really be done right. Like no cutting corners.
Right.
It has to be done right.
Because otherwise you think, you sit and think about it. You think like, oh, we could have done this better. We could have, or you see it, physically see something that's not done. And then it's, you know, little, the details, right? Like you're not as detailed as I am. Like you're more accepting of things not being perfect. Like you almost, because you growing up with me, like wanting things to be so rigidly, you know, tidy and straight, and this and that, you kind of like want to mess things up. Like you want it, you want to kind of totally. Have things a little beat up or a little crooked or a little wonky. Whereas I'm constantly, you know, like, and it's a control thing. And that's another thing that you're, you know, we have control issues.
Well, we definitely do. Another way, I'm my mother's daughter.
Right.
Growing up with my mom was like growing up in an army base. Every single household chore was boot camp. Doing the dishes boot camp. Like, literally, my mom would, like, inspect the fork after I washed it, and she'd be like, you didn't use fucking hot water. No, you didn't. You didn't use hot water. Wow, wow. Did you even use dish soap?
Yeah.
Do you know that you have to refill the sponge with the soap? Okay, obviously you don't.
Yeah.
When you look at me, what do you think I get the most fixated on?
I think it's, like, controlling what's going to happen.
Mm. I love to have a plan.
Yeah.
It's terrible. I'm like so bad. Like it's from like kind of random daily tasks. Everything has to be timed out on my Google Calendar to like, I need to know like who's going to be my maid of honor in my wedding. I need to know who's I'm going to marry. I need to know how many kids I'm going to have. Like I like am obsessed with that too. Like having that, I need to know where I'm going to live. Like I'm obsessed with planning the future as well.
I think that's an age thing too, though.
Were you like that?
I mean, I feel like it's kind of a goal, like a life goal or something. And you want to get, we're very impatient. That's the other thing. So we want to get to it as soon as possible because you have it all planned out. You know what has to happen. So you just, you're in a big hurry to get there. And I was very much like that. But on a daily basis, I may not be like anxious about my future like you are because I feel like I've kind of arrived, you know.
Well, yeah, you have your career, you have a child who's a nightmare, and that's so much so distracting. And then you have
filled with a lot to do on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. In what ways are we different?
Well, like I said, I mean, I think you rebelled against my precision on things, and so you kind of like when things are a little more knocked around, beat up, wonky, crooked, you know, a little messy, like you kind of rebel against that. You know, it's not like your house is dirty or unorganized. It's more like you might be attracted to like a little vintage piece of artwork or something, and it'll be, you know, maybe chipped up and knocked around and not, and I'd be like, oh no, but it's got chips and not, you know, dents in it. And you're like, but that's what I like about it. And I like things to be like more, you know, I like, you know, vintage things or antiques, but I like
them
when
they're refurbished.
I like them to be more like in better shape. And you are totally good with something just like falling apart.
I know.
Because it looks cool.
Okay. So that's one way we're different. Do you think we're different socially?
Oh yeah.
Why?
Because I'm not social. I was when I was your age.
But you're definitely outgoing.
But I get bored at like, you know, social events where it's maybe like, I have trouble hearing people talk, you know, like I can't, if there's a lot
too.
Of people talking, like, so it's hard to have a conversation. So I feel kind of like I start to like close up because I can't understand what anyone's saying. And then I'm like, just shaking my head and I'm just like, you know, and so I feel that's awkward to me, you know.
But that's also such an interesting perspective because it's like, it's so true that in most social situations, a party, a club, like, you know, a bar, it's fucking loud.
It's
just loud and it's not fun
to talk.
To talk. It actually is awful. Like I, you know, when I go out, and as we know, I've been doing it a lot because I call my mom when I'm on the way home and it's like 2 a.m, 3 a.m, 4 a.m. It's been 6 a.m. and I'm driving home because I don't drink.
The tea, though.
Really? Well, yeah, you get the tea. Yeah. How good is the tea?
It's awesome.
It's so good.
It's so fun.
This is totally a detour. Now we're going in a completely different direction, but share the best tea I've ever given you. Well, what was a story that I got in the car and I called you and I told you about where you're like, this is the juiciest shit yet?
It's usually like when you've seen somebody that you haven't seen in a long time, or you met somebody for the first time and, you know, you just like really hit it off, and it would be like an unexpected person, you know, that
boy drama.
Yeah. Boy drama is always the best, right? Like that's like, oh man, like who would have thought that would have happened, or, you know, that they would have said that, or, you know, it usually has to do with boys. It's usually like where you've been out and about and you've seen someone, and then you see, you know,
yeah, stuff. That was kind of the best one. Yeah, I know what you're alluding to.
You know what I mean?
In LA, I think it's like you're always going to see people out that you have like a history with, whether it's an old friend or an ex or whoever. And it's like, I think those are the best stories for you probably because you know these people, you've met these people. Yeah. And then now it's like interesting to see what, but that is the problem.
Or sometimes, you know, like I'll have been a fan of, maybe it's a music artist or, you know, an actress or a model or something like that, and you've become friends with them, and then you come home and then you tell me stories about like an evening out where you've run into them and then the conversations you've had or whatever, and I'm like so riveted at the end of my, because it's so fun. It's like someone that you maybe, you know, watched them on TV when you were little, and so I've watched these people grow up to be, you know, successful whatever, artists, musicians, whatever they are. And so it's just kind of fun to hear the local stuff that happens when you're out and you run into these people.
What they're really like.
What they're really like, or like, you know, whatever. It's just so fun.
I honestly feel like I go out and be social for the debrief after with you and my friends. It's like, that's what it's about.
I kind of like wake up automatically at like 2 a.m. And just like, go,
why is she?
She's still out. Yeah. Okay, well, maybe she'll. And then like, if I think you're in an odd place, sometimes like the location will seem a little odd, and I'll check in and just say, you good? Just to make sure you're good, but also to let you know that I'm awake. So that as soon as you get in the car, you can call me.
Yes. Yes. Speaking of you tracking me on my phone, well, you're an anxious parent.
Yes.
Why don't you sort of dig into how you manage being a deeply anxious person and having a child?
Well, I mean, I didn't even want to have a child because I knew that I would be such an anxious parent. So it was almost like, oh my gosh, I am not the kind of person that should be having kids, because I'm going to be worried about the baby inside my tummy, you know, worried about the baby coming out okay. I'm going to be worried about everything, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and then the experience I went through, which was, for the most part, you know, other than being like nauseous for the first six months or whatever, everything was fine. Mm-hmm. Except for, you know, you coming out with an emergency C-section. That was like, you had to come out that way. That's okay.
I know, it's so reflective of my personality.
Oh
with
my
you.
Gosh. Afterwards, you know, we'd go to nurse and you'd constantly fall asleep. And then the nurses would come in and they would be like jamming your face, you know, like to nurse. And then you'd be arching your back like, no!
Immediate
and then
rebel.
I was like, oh man, we are in for it. This girl is like, is going to be a force to be reckoned with. And here you are.
Thank you so much.
So the worry just went on and on and on.
You were anxious and you definitely needed to know where I was at all times. And you definitely were like, you know, you had a leash on, a metaphorical leash on, because some parents actually do the little leash on the kids. But you had a metaphorical leash on me. It wasn't like I was a complete loose cannon, but you did kind of let me be a loose cannon. I mean, like when I look back, it's like, holy shit. Like, I, you know, after school, I'd go to the, you know, the youth center.
Right.
These kids and I would just be running around town doing whatever. And we were like on our own, you know? And when I got a little older and I started partying and I was like experimenting with drinking and stuff like that, you and my dad both were like, it's okay, just keep us in the loop. And I think that that's exactly the way to do it, because I think it prevented me from ever rebelling in that way and wanting to overdo it, which I think was phenomenal. But it's like, how did you let me go then? You kind of let me go, even though you're so anxious.
First of all, like, I trusted you. Like, I didn't feel like you were gonna, you know, make a bad, you know, everybody makes bad choices, right? Like we make, that's how we learn. But I didn't have the capability of tracking you until you were a little bit older, mm-hmm. until you had your first iPhone, basically, because I feel mm-hmm. like the other ones, we didn't do that. And it was, it's because my intentions or my thoughts about tracking you or keeping an eye on you, it wasn't about what you were doing or who you were hanging out with. It was just more about being able to rescue you if you were in a bad situation. Mm-hmm. It's about knowing where you were so that if there was an earthquake, then I could just come pick you up.
So that's what you were more anxious about rather than what I was actually doing.
No, I was never worried about what you were doing. It was never about controlling what you were doing, who you were hanging out with. It was about keeping you, just knowing that I could come and save you somehow. Because you didn't like it at first.
No, I mean, I think...
It's invasive. But no. Then once I said, hey, you know, but if you're in a situation and you can't call me or something, then I can literally drive to wherever you are and I can pick you and your friends up and get you guys out of a bad situation or maybe a situation you don't want to be in, which happened. It happened where you guys would be in a house party and the cops would come. And you guys would be hiding in the bushes.
So scary.
And you're like texting me and you don't even know where you are.
Yeah.
You don't, there's no address because, and you don't even know what street. And I would just jump in the car and I would find you that way.
I know. It was like, I literally, the amount of times the cops got called on us. Like, I wonder if that's normal. Like, did you have the cops called on parties when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But we never, you know, we'd all get word and then everybody would split and hide until they drove away. And then you would, you know. I remember, like, the Uber account. It's, like, my Uber account. And you guys would go and then you guys would split, you know, the Uber or whatever. My rating went to shit when you guys would go to, what was it, Shoreline? Yeah.
Well, Shoreline, for context, was this, like, it was this music venue. Not super close to where I lived, but, you know, like 40 minutes to an hour. And it was where there was $50 country concerts, country shows. And all the high schoolers would go and get super drunk and just, like, make out with each other. And it was really weird in retrospect.
I think it was so good for you to have that independence because I feel like...
Completely agree.
Oh, I mean, even though you might have been drinking and making out with boys and doing all these things that if the parents really knew, they would be like, oh, that's not allowed.
Well, that's the thing. I do think, like, you can't rob your child of, like, experimentation. Like, you can't. Like, but within, like, you know, but you, there's a responsible way to do it. And I think you did it.
Yeah, I mean, if you were messing around with, like, scary drugs and stuff or, like, hooking up with 40-year-old men, I'd be like, absolutely not.
Yeah, that's,
you know what I mean? But you guys were all with each other. You guys had been around each other since you were like in fourth grade or fifth grade or even younger. Yeah. Some of you even knew each other as toddlers. So it was like, I didn't feel like you were doing anything abnormal at all, you know?
But to an extent, you have to let your kids touch the stove to know that it's hot.
Right.
While keeping the leash on though still too. Like, it's like, you know, you were in control of the situation enough where it's like, and you also educated me enough to a point where you were like, she's not going to get hurt. Like, she's not taking anything to a level where she's fine. You know?
I didn't feel like any of it was dangerous. And if I did, I probably would have said no, but I felt like you were smart. You were also like nervous and worried. So you weren't going to be like, you know.
I wasn't totally cool and badass. I was like so scared of everything.
You've never been reckless. And that's a thing. That's a difference.
I've never snuck out. I feel like I'm the only kid that never needed to. I know. This episode is brought to you by Bumble. When you want someone compatible, start the search on Bumble. It has the features you need to find exactly what you're looking for, like a 6-foot Aquarius who likes rock climbing and also wants kids, or a runner with a penchant for poetry who loves dogs and wants a serious connection. We know you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Download Bumble today. This episode is brought to you by Walmart. I love the springtime. It's a great chance to refresh your wardrobe, home, or beauty routine. And you know what? I think you'll find Walmart has some great style finds that won't break the bank. If you want to upgrade your style, they've got clothes. If you want to upgrade your home decor, pick up some fresh new pieces. You can upgrade everything from your fit to your furniture in-store or shop it all on the Walmart app. Shop the latest spring styles at walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending. Now trending, your style at Walmart.
Do you think my personality was set when I was born, or do you think that you and my dad
influence?
Or... Yeah, like do you believe, this is actually, let's take me out of the equation. Do you believe that personality is innate, or do you think personality is developed through parenting, or do you think it's a combination of both?
I think it's a combination of both, but like you came out a rebel, 100%. And I saw that from the get-go. I didn't understand it the way I do now. Like, I think different people wrote books on personality types, and there was like personality quizzes and stuff. And so one of the ones I really liked narrows in on 4 different personality types or tendencies that we have. I remember it because it was right around the time you started high school, and that's when I figured out your personality type, my personality type. It's very simple.
What's your personality type and what's mine?
So the 4 tendencies, they call them, is the upholder, the questioner, the rebel, and the obliger. And you're pretty much a rebel through and through. Like, there's overlap, obviously, on every single one. But for me, I am 100% one of those people who will take care of everyone else.
You're the obliger?
Yeah, before I take care of myself, mm-hmm. Right? Getting better, hopefully, about that. But you have no accountability. So you're basically held accountable by outside forces or mm-hmm. outside people, right? So when it comes to work, you know, just work yourself to death and to the bone and dig yourself in a hole because you are gonna, you know, do what other people are asking you to do because mm-hmm. you don't want to let anybody down. Mm-hmm. You're gonna rebel against, you know, what everyone is asking because it's deeply rooted in you. There isn't even any explaining it. It just is what it is, right? But you have a little bit of other stuff, and so do I. And
for sure,
yeah,
I do feel like I definitely have pieces of all of those though. When I think about it, like definitely. I am rebellious, but I also think I can be a people pleaser and just be like, yeah. I will do anything for everybody.
Yeah.
And then I also think I can prioritize myself and be really selfish.
Some of that, though, comes from the parenting styles, you know, like where you're saying, did I come out that way or did – because I feel like there's things that I see you do that come from situations that happened when you were younger where – I might have parented a little harshly or, you know, we've talked about this before, you know, reactive parenting has caused, I don't want to say issues, but, you know, like you kind of have like PTSD maybe, or I don't know what it is, but you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's very self-aware for you as a mom to say, I did something that might have fucked you up.
Yeah, but it's
that's a very rare thing, special.
Really? Because yes. I don't know. I feel like all parents feel guilty about something.
No, but because here's the thing. It's like, the thing is, every parent is going to fuck up, okay? And it's about being able to apologize. Like, Lord knows when I'm a parent, God, I don't know what I'm going to do wrong, but I will do something wrong. You know what I mean? Like, it's just how it is.
But well, I mean, we all do because you're learning as you're going, kind of. It's not like, you know, I don't think any of us are prepared or know. I don't care how many classes you take. I did all that stuff and yeah. It didn't matter. You came out so opposite of me, you know. And so, you know, it's like, okay, sweetie, it's time to brush your teeth. No. Yes, we have to brush your teeth because you don't want to have rotten teeth and you don't want to go to sleep. And then you're like,
it's cool.
And then there's me, you know, pinning you down on the floor of your bedroom going, we're going to brush your teeth. And you're like, no, no, no. And it's like, yes, yes, yes. And we're like power struggling through life until I realize who you were, you know. And it was by that point, though, all that reactive parenting had already taken place.
To me, when I think of reactive parenting, it's like a more emotional tone. It's like it's a more elevated tone. It's more of, there's anger, you know, there's emotion. It's like,
But it's also cutting off children and not hearing them, you know, like being really emotional about something or snippy and not giving a child a chance to say, hey, wait a minute. I have something to say about that. Nope, you just need to go brush your teeth and go to bed. You know, it's like, but wait, I have something to say. Nope, you just got, you know what I mean? And that happened.
Yeah.
And that is something that I'll probably never be okay with. Like, it's just, you know, because it hurts. And it's like, because I see you overcompensating sometimes, because I think that influenced, you know what I mean? And it's kind of sad.
No, it's not sad.
It is, because I just, especially with, say, like in relationships with like friends or boys, and it's like, no, don't do that. I caused that for you. Don't do that. Don't
sort of more of a pushover, or be like too agreeable, or be
right,
like,
or not feel like, or hesitate to speak your mind because you were shut down as me being a reactive parent in that parenting style kind of shut you down in a way. So you felt like you weren't going to be heard, or that you couldn't speak up for yourself. And so I've seen you do it in relationships, whether mm-hmm. it's just friendships, or, you know, where the other person may not be the best person for you to be around mm-hmm. because of their.
So then they bring out that
and
side
so,
of me.
So then, not that they would ever, you know, maybe even consciously take advantage of that of you, but that dynamic comes out. And that's where, so one time I was, you know, it's like, it was a reel, and it wasn't even that long ago. I saw it on Instagram, and it was somebody acting out a reactive parenting scenario. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh no, I was that parent for a while.
Okay,
and then I sent it to you, and I was like, Emma, oh my God, I was that parent. And I think this is why you do this thing.
Yeah.
Like, or do these different things. And I wanted you to be aware of it. So you would say, wait a minute, I don't have to do that. I don't mm-hmm. have to do that. I have a voice, and I need to be heard. And I don't need to hold back just because of something that happened to me when I was a kid mm-hmm. that influence the way I am with everyone else in my life. Like, I'd much rather you recognize that and me go down for it. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you're like, I'll
go down for it just to help you see the person you need to be. Right?
Yeah, but ultimately, that is phenomenal parenting, though. Like,
well, you never stop being a parent, right?
Like, no, and it's like, okay, yeah, that was like a rough patch, you know, and it was, and it definitely formed me in a way. I mean, every single little thing that happened when I was a kid formed me in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, also feeling like I can call you at any time and talk to you about anything, and you're never going to judge me, and you're always going to, like, you know, you're not going to get mad at me. Like, on that side of things, that formed me in a way where now I'm not afraid of being myself as much.
Yeah.
But I do think that being a good parent is being selfless enough with your child, taking your ego out of it. Being selfless enough with your child to say, I fucked up. This is how I think it fucked you up. And I'm sorry. And let's work through it together so that you can heal from that. I can heal from that.
Yeah.
And we can all blossom.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, if it's not that, it's probably something else. I do think in order to be a good parent,
you kind of have to let your ego go.
I agree. Because that's why you're able to now to see this TikTok about how you parented in a way that you're not proud of, and to send it to me and say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That, like, you can't do that if your ego's in it. And you're right. Like, no, I have ego in being a good parent, a perfect parent.
Right. But your dad and I have talked many times about this. It's like, you know, once you have a kid, you go out the window. Okay. It's not about you anymore. You have this little person, and you got to give it your all, and make sure that they're safe, happy, you know, and whatever. It's not about, you know, raising the smartest or the cutest or the most talented. It's just about, we've talked about this so many times, we gave you the opportunity to be you, and we had respect for you as a little human, and we wanted, you know, you to develop into whatever you were going to be, not who we are, who you are, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that's where a lot of parents are like, oh, no, we don't talk about that. We don't talk about this, or we don't get, you know, boy crazy, or we don't, you know, we don't say this word. We don't, you know, and it's like, but you know what I mean?
Such a funny example to use, because 9 times out of 10, I'm calling you, it's about a,
yeah. Right, it's about all of those things, which is just totally normal. Whereas other parents, I think, really try to control, you know, that kind of stuff. And it's like, why though? Is it because you're worried about looking bad because your
kids? That's totally what it is.
Because your kids are boy crazy. Girls and boys, and everybody's crazy about everybody. Yes, you know what I mean? At a certain age, it's like, so why do you care how that's going to make you look?
But also even like college, like, oh, my kid needs to go to this college, or oh, my kid needs to get this job. Right. It's like, it does really get, it's terrible on both ends. It's terrible for the child because they feel like they can't, you know, discover what they want to do with their lives themselves. But then it's terrible for the parent because I'm so sorry, you're going to get disappointed.
Yeah.
You're going to get fucking disappointed.
Or if you put like rules into place like that, you know, we had conversations because you felt like you had to go to this college or that college or a good college or whatever. And it's like, no, wait a minute. Like, you can do whatever you want. You're in the driver's seat, you know, and no judgment here. You know, that's why you're doing what you're doing.
It's interesting, though, because how rare is it for a parent? No, no, this is so backwards. How often is the kid like, no, I need to go to college, but something inside me is telling me I'm not going to go. And the parents are like, don't go. When does that ever happen?
But it's crazy. It's crazy how the gut instincts, you know, really kick in. And because your dad and I, it wasn't about us. It was about you and about you being happy, healthy, figuring things out. It wasn't about like, oh, well, if she doesn't go to Harvard, then we're going to look like dumbasses or something. Like, it just, you know, it didn't matter to us. You know what I mean? But also, I went to FIDM. He went to a few years of, you know, so it's like.
Well, right. It's like, who are y'all to talk?
Right. Like, but it's like, you could say, well, don't do what I did. Go to, you know, get a 4-year education and, you know, reach for the stars or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to reach for the stars on a certain path. And you had made it really clear that path was, everyone's doing the same thing. Everybody looks the same way. And I look around the room and every face looks the same. And I'm like driving going, oh my God, she's freaking me out right now. Like, I don't even, what does she mean by that? Like, I thought, you know, cause you were so much more advanced, you know, than I realized. And you're telling me this on the way home from school one day when you were in high school.
I was going very Shakespeare. I was going very poetic. I was going very abstract art in the car with you that day.
And I was like shaking going, oh my God, do I need to like have a, you know, like sign her up with a psychologist? Like, I don't know what to do. And then it was like, we went to the, you know, college counseling and you walked out of there just shaking your head. And I'm going, I don't know what's going wrong.
I will say that was when I sort of like I started having very intuitive feelings at that point. And
well, you said you didn't see yourself graduating from high school, like walking the line, and it freaked you out. Remember that?
Well, that was what was so weird. And to this day is so weird with graduating high school in the proper way, right? Like walking down the line.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I couldn't see it. I could not see me in college. I wanted both of those things. You know, I was a very studious, academically driven child.
You were so anxious about
perfection in that setting.
Right. Like, because you were, it was something you would say, I got to get into the best colleges. I have to have those. I just have to. I have to. And we're like, but why? You know, like, why do you feel like you have to do that?
It was so weird.
Yeah.
The whole thing is weird in retrospect, because it's like, most of the time, a kid's not going to Catholic all-girls school unless their parents forced them to go.
Right.
Like, I wanted to go.
Yeah.
I wanted to go because I was like, this is going to help me prep for college.
Yeah.
So that I can go to a good college. Because I really think what it was rooted in was feeling like, obviously, the Bay Area, the Silicon Valley, it's a bunch of tech families. It's a lot of wealthy kids.
Yep.
And we weren't necessarily there. We weren't up there with them. We were totally fine.
Yeah.
But we weren't there.
Right.
You know what I mean? To me, I was like, I feel inferior in a way, which was completely fucking ridiculous in retrospect.
No, but that's normal.
But
though.
I mean, as a kid who doesn't
as a parent, you know, I wanted so badly to provide that. A house with, you know, whatever, and then whatever kind of car you wanted when you turned 16. And, you know, like I wanted to provide all that. And that made us who we are today, you know, and it, you know, but at the time, you know, my heart hurt, you know, to not be able to provide that for you. But when I looking back, I'm glad I didn't.
Me fucking too.
Right. So, I mean, I don't regret any of it, but at the time it was really hard because it was like, I was constantly looking for the little house, even just rent that would be affordable. And I think growing up, how I grew up, I also felt inferior, you know, to the kids that had the married parents, the brothers and sisters in the house with the two dogs and the this and the that and the two trucks and the car to go to town in and, you know, all the stuff. Like, I did not have any of that either.
Yeah.
You know, and but I look back and I go, oh, man, my childhood is so interesting.
Cool and interesting, yeah, and it's dynamic.
Like, right.
But also, like, when you're a kid, you probably have experienced this. Like, when you're a kid, you take everything for granted. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't realize how good you have it until you're older and you're able to see things from a worldly scale.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, I was under the impression that, like, you know, my childhood was much more challenging than it was because I was comparing, you know, myself to, like, these rich kids who have, like, tech parents.
Yep.
You know, like, they're like, millionaire parents.
Yeah.
Like, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, I'm comparing myself to that. I only made it worse by going to Catholic all-girls school. The only way that we were able to do that was by getting financial aid.
Right.
So then, but then I'm around it even more, and I was just so cynical. I was like, you know, like, fuck these people. Because I'm around actually what I realized now was extreme wealth. Like, that is an unusual, oh, yeah, you know, sort of setup. Okay.
Right.
You yeah. know, it's not normal for, you know, 15-year-old girls to be getting, like, a Dior bag for Christmas. Like, that's right. very weird.
Right.
Like, in most
or
places,
like the,
that's not
the
normal.
Car of their dreams, brand new for their 16th
yeah.
birthday.
And then they crash it and then they get a new one the next week. That's not right. normal. See, I just had no clue. I had no context.
Yeah.
Like,
it makes you, because you look back and you, like, I so appreciate my upbringing
oh my God.
And my childhood and all the different stuff. And also, too, even yours, even though I want,
yes,
I was,
me too.
I was obsessive about, you know, like I said, getting the cute little house that you could have your friends over and not, you know, be embarrassed because, you know, it was, you know, like, I actually, it was so important. It was so important.
It was so important.
And
I'm
was
so...
And it was cute inside. It was
no,
super
it was
cute.
Okay, it was cute. Okay, well, let's just describe it. It was like, basically, we had this apartment that we lived in for years and years and years. And
it was like 10 years.
It was like 10 years. And I was mortified of this apartment. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
You, it was,
no, no.
It was, listen, I, in retrospect now, I'm like, my mom put a roof over my head. We had two bedrooms in there, which is like incredible. I had my own space, you know.
Awesome closet.
It was clean, like, always. It was like decorated so cute inside. You know, it was more, I could not be more grateful for it now, but at the time, let me tell you. So all the neighbors were a little creepy. No, we had some cute ones.
The ones across from us upstairs were awesome.
But the ones below us
we
awful. Had like
awful.
An absolute feud with them. Like, it was insane. I had to tiptoe walking around the house because if not, they would start hitting the fucking ceiling with a broom and they'd be like, shut the fuck up. And they were always on some sort of drug, okay? And our apartment smelled like weed.
Right.
And like my mom...
Calling the police all the time. Oh,
they
God,
would always, they'd call the police on us. We'd call the police on them. For both
and
of
I
us.
Think reactive parenting came from that. Like, I'm not trying to make excuses, but that situation, I look back and I go, I should have just gotten us out of there because I would be so short-tempered because
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, but it was hard because I lived, like, I was going to school there and it right. was, like, going to be and emotionally you could... challenging to get me out of that school. And, like, you know, you're like, by the way, we were rent-controlled there. Right?
Oh, yeah. The rent was so amazing. You could walk to school. So there are some good things about mm-hmm. it. Like, you could walk to school or I could pop you over or walk you to school. There came a point where you wanted to walk to school by yourself. It gave you that independence. But how often did your friends come with you after school? Because we were one block away from downtown. And,
no, totally.
And you guys would go over and get whatever, Starbucks or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was the pad. You guys all hung out and you guys would... you know, take little videos out of the window and of like friends walking by, you know, because
it was so fun.
Yeah. It was actually like
it was fun.
Location, location, location.
It was interesting because like I was always very embarrassed to bring other kids over because, you know, of course, naturally I'm comparing this apartment to, you know, most of them had gorgeous houses.
Yeah.
Or two whatever.
Story, you know.
Yeah.
Six bedrooms.
But I was like, but what was interesting was that most of them actually did end up preferring hanging out at our place
oh, yeah.
because it was cozy and it was in there was a, you know, a special energy there. And again, like I am so appreciative of that. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How's it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? To be honest, my social battery is horrible right now. I am running on empty. I want to be alone for a whole week straight and see no one and talk to no one. I think I've overbooked myself a little bit. And so I'm feeling very drained. And hey, maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need more time alone. Either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery, because a full battery is the key to a full life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/anything today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/anything. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Imagine you find something that you love. Maybe you see your friend wearing a cool t-shirt and you're like, oh, I want that. And then they give you the website and you go onto it and it just doesn't feel quite right. That doesn't make you want to buy that t-shirt. A good website is crucial when it comes to selling your product or a brand. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. It's okay if you don't know the first thing about design. You can choose from professionally curated layouts with the Squarespace Blueprint. Squarespace even has AI that can help you kickstart or update your website copy. If you're selling products, Squarespace makes checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment methods. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial and save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain with the code Emma. We went off on a crazy tangent and I'm glad we did, because that was a phenomenal topic. But all of this was because I was saying it made no sense for me to be like, I need to go to a Catholic all-girls school, right? Because there was a lot of friction to get me there. It wasn't like, oh, this is a seamless, easy thing, like whatever.
But did we ever do anything easy? No.
No, but I had this gut intuition there. I was like, I need to go to this Catholic all-girls school. And then it was like, you know, I knew I had to go there.
Right.
But then when it came to going to college, I like knew it was not going to happen. And it was going against my logical brain. And it was so weird. And to this day, though, it's like that happens. Like that just happens with me. Like even with friendships, like I'll be like, I don't see this in 2 years. Like even if I'm like, we're having so much fun, I want to be friends with this person forever. But I'll close my eyes and I'll be like, I don't see it. But then I'll have friends where I close my eyes and I can see it. That's a more recent development. I don't think, like, you know, where it's like, whoa, I actually am seeing these people in my head for a long time. But same thing with even dating. Like every time this is like torturous when
I bet
you are. I'm like, I'll be so in love with someone, I think, at least. Whether it's real love or not is depends. It could be an illusion. It could be not. But I'll be so convinced that I'm in love with this person for the right reasons and that this is something that's going to go the distance. And I'll close my eyes and I'll be like, it isn't. I know it isn't.
Wow.
But it goes against what I want to be true. Right.
And you kind of want to like go, well, I could be wrong. Like,
I do that. And then every time I do, I get fucked over.
Yeah.
So I'm learning now that.
But that's such a gift. I mean, that's something to pay attention to.
Do you have that?
I feel like we all have a gift for intuition. And so say you're talking about a situation with, you know, a relationship, friendship, whatever. I'm not saying specifics. And it comes in and I might just have an intuition about somebody and I'll say it. And I'm usually right. And it's kind of freaky.
It's kind of like freaky. Mom's
kind of know. And maybe it's just because I've been around the block multiple times.
People always say that like moms always know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting because fuck, like you have nailed it on the head with like everyone. Like you do know, like you immediately, I actually need to start asking you more, like.
Because I'll give you my opinion. Like,
I know.
And it's not even judgment on someone, like, it's not even like, oh, those are bad people. Don't hang out with them.
Well, it's about
something.
The compatibility me.
Yeah, it's not even about, yeah, it's mostly, it's like a dynamic. And like, you know, I've just come to that place where I pay attention more. And yeah. I think you've just been more in tune.
I mean, I think I might be in tune, but
yes,
ignore it.
Well, no, I think what happens with you though is there, like, because you have anxiety, you will overanalyze those things sometimes, and then you get worried about it. An example would be like an intrusive thought, right? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you'll start to make something out of that because you'll go, oh, yeah, that popped in my head. And is that okay? But does that mean it's real? Or is it just because it was an intrusive thought? So you have this like, oh my gosh, you poor thing. Like it's really, but I have done that my whole life, and I got a handle on that when I was in my older 20s.
I'm getting better 30. About it.
I was probably even in my 30s when I was able to get a handle on that and figure out the tools. And you will. You'll get there. But it sucks because you'll spend so much energy and time and lose a lot of sleep over this kind of stuff that you create yourself that 99.9999% of the time never happens. And so that's why I'm here to remind you, because I've learned how to cope with that and talk myself out of it. And it's been a blessing.
I mean, I like, thank God that you are as anxious as me. Like, imagine you were sort of a child that you grew up just as anxious as me, but you didn't have a parent who understood.
Right. There's a certain feeling that you have when you're the anxious kid that's, you know, worried about a lot of things because you're so distracted by the worry and that dark cloud following you around that you just don't, you know, it's hard to like let go and have a good time. And when you like, I just, you know, I see some of that in you. And so I try to do whatever I can to say, hey, I did that. And look,
oh, it makes it so much. It is such a gift. Like to have somebody to call, you know, when you're like, I'm experiencing this, 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 and that. What's happening?
Right.
And to have somebody say, you're not dying. You're not losing your mind. You're totally fine. This is normal. And it's happened to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I really think that one of the most powerful resources anxious people can have is just someone, anyone that has experienced it before. That's a key component.
Yep.
Needs to understand it.
You have to, yeah.
Because if you talk about it with somebody who doesn't, they'll make you feel crazy, actually. They'll make you feel, you know, they'll completely, the way that their tone towards you will never be empathetic enough.
Right.
Only from somebody who has experienced deep anxiety, only can they, like, that's at least my experience.
Well, I never had anybody.
I know.
And no one. I never had anyone to understand it. Not a parent, not a friend, no one. No one understood what I was going through. And it wasn't even like well known. Like panic disorder and anxiety, generalized anxiety and panic disorder was just not very commonly talked about or addressed. Or in most people, if they did have it, they were on anti-anxiety medicine, which was not an option for me. And so, but nobody understood what I was feeling. And so, you know, until I, you know, finally did work with somebody who did, and they gave me this workshop thing, and I did it twice over. And that's how I was able to get the tools that I have and thank goodness have them to share with you. And to understand it is just, you know,
that's what it is. I've noticed with anxiety is like once you understand it, and that's what's making it easier for me now, like knowing that it's normal and it's going to pass and that it's not like something is very, very wrong.
Right.
I will say, though, I've noticed in you recently, you're making friends in the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
My mom moved to Los Angeles, California with now she's not my neighbor, but she lives pretty close. And so, you know, we're LA girls now, obviously, but you, like, I feel like you moving to LA has been really good for you. I feel like you have so many friends. I feel like you, like, I'll call you and you're like, I'm on a walk with my friend. And I'm like, wow, that's weird.
You're like, wait a minute. You're always like, there for me.
You're like, I'm going to this like dinner party or something. And I'm like, oh, what?
That's weird. I know. It's kind of crazy,
but it's amazing. I think living in LA, you know, you're coming out of your shell, and I think you're learning to have a better work-life balance. And I honestly think it's never too late to figure that out. And, you know, you're at a place now where financially it's like Maybe you can give yourself a little bit. You've worked so hard for so many fucking years, so fucking hard for so many years.
I know.
And like, you know, and you've, it's like, I think at a certain point it'll click for you and you'll be like, I think I do get to celebrate now. And that can happen. That can just happen whenever. There's no timeline where it's like, oh, I missed out. I didn't do it soon enough. So now I have to live this way for the rest of my life. It's like, hello? No.
I'm trying. I'm doing.
You will.
It's baby steps.
Well, I'm here to be like, okay, mommy, time to get out. It's getting weird.
Okay. Like, time to get out.
Mommy, you're being so boring.
Totally.
This is so weird.
But you know, it's funny. Like, it's like back in the day, it's like, oh, you know, the different things that adults did to go have fun is just not the stuff that I like, you know? Mm-hmm. So now it's like having, you know, taking out time with these new friends that I have to try new restaurants or just have them over for coffee or go take, like, you know, take the kids for long hikes to the top of the hill, mm-hmm. you know, like things that are just more in my, so I'm just more lined up with people that do that, that like to do the same things.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of funny because I like moved here and I've never looked back and it's been so fun. It's been so fun.
I, you know what? Like, I actually think we love LA.
I love
Everyone
LA.
Everyone loves LA.
I do.
No, it's funny because, like, you know, I hated LA for so long. I'm actually like fucking into LA right now.
Me
I'm
too.
I'm loving it.
No, I'm not kidding. Like, when I would come down and help you at the different locations you were at before, I was kind of like, I don't think so.
Well, I lived in terrible areas.
Like, I was just like, I don't think I could do it. And then, like, I got, you know, when I got kind of stuck here, you know, helping to get the house finished and all that. And it just got a routine.
My house.
Yeah. Got a routine down. It was like, oh, well, I already kind of lived here. So, I liked it.
And
then it was like, I've never looked back.
I know. It's so fun.
I love it.
I love it.
Totally. I'm giddy with how much nature I get to be in. Like,
I know.
All the critters.
Okay. We love rats, like pet rats. We love them. And she had a pet rat in college and she would carry it to class in her pocket and it would sit in her little sweatshirt pocket and it would crawl up on her shoulder and sleep on her shoulder. And this was her little best friend. And when I got older, then my mom was like, let's get Emma a rat. I wanted a rat. So I had pet rats. We both have a deep fondness for rats. Top rodent, I'd argue, for the both of us. Although my mom also loves squirrels. That's her top rodent. My top rodent is probably rats. I like actually love them and I think that they're incredibly smart. And, you know, I don't need to see a big like 2-foot New York rat, right? Like, I'm not hungry for that experience. But like a little cute female pet rat, obsessed. Long story short, my mom loves rats. I love rats.
Yeah.
She also used to feed the squirrels at her work. And then she also, on top of that, she's obsessed with the salamanders that are all around. Or no.
It's not salamanders.
What is it?
It's
lizard. Sorry, she has her
Western,
lizard friend.
Western fence lizards and southern alligator lizards. Oh my God. There is so many cool lizards at my house, you guys. Like, no, it is so cool. Like, some of them are like super turquoise and some of them are just like, you know, there's all sorts of little baby ones. Oh my gosh.
You're definitely an animal person. Like, it's very special.
Well, that's
to see.
Why I would rather be with the animals than be out and be social.
See, you're one of those that needs to wear the shirt that's like, I like my dog more than people. Like, that's you, right. Actually.
Like, which when it's like the picture of the person laying on the floor talking to the dog when they're at a party.
That's
me.
Classic Sophia.
Yes. Yep.
Classic mommy mode.
Yep. Can't help it. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think.
And I'm not going to apologize for it.
Don't.
No.
I think I think their final conclusion is, my mom likes any critter that's within a 10-foot radius of her house more than she likes me. And that's okay. And that's our relationship.
And right now, because you're older and you're now an adult, like, they can take priority over you sometimes and you don't like it.
No, I actually kind of am relieved. I'm like, oh, you know what? She's having fun and I can call you at 2 a.m. while you're cuddling with the critters.
Right.
Like, it's a perfect balance what we have.
I know.
Well, mommy, thank you for coming on the show.
You're welcome. It was fun.
Did you have fun?
Yeah.
Did you come back?
Oh my God, totally.
Okay, cool.
I feel like we could talk forever.
I know.
Yeah.
And we will. Well, you'll come back and next time we'll talk about, we'll really dig into the rats.
Oh God. Yeah, no. And I should probably stop saying God. I keep saying that. Well, oh, really?
You can say God.
Oh. Okay.
You can say fuck. You can say shit. You can say God.
You just say anything.
You can
you
say
want.
Damn. Ass.
Okay, good.
Titties.
Okay. Titties and ass.
Cooter. Vagina.
Vagina.
Penis. Like
penis.
Yeah. Let it go. Let loose. That should be like my warm up before I record, as I make everyone go down the list of like, you know, of like, ooh, that's a little spicy words.
Spicy.
Spicy.
I like that.
Words. And you did amazing.
Awesome. I'm
can't
glad.
Wait for you to come back.
I know. I can't wait to come back. It was fun.
I feel good.
Dad, are you singing to your cereal?
Come on, Ava. Silk almond milk starts the morning on a high note.
Silk almond milk.
With calcium, vitamins A, D, and E.
Feel plenty good.